What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. All right, welcome back, guys, gals, and non-binary pals.
As our friend Desiree says.
I know. So I was about to say, shout out to Desiree. I don't know if she listens, but if she does, shout out to her. I don't think we have any true crime business to cover, so I'm just going to jump right into today's case.
Yeah.
In 1985, in Los Angeles alone, there were nearly 800 murders.
That's insane.
I know. The Los Angeles Police Department came forward and acknowledged that they were likely dealing with several serial killers in the area.
Does that include, like, the Night Stalker? And because that was around that time, right?
Yes. I think he was, like, wasn't he late 70s into the 80s? Like, throughout the 80s?
Yeah.
I can't remember. But he was definitely
around that time
making horrible moves around that time for sure.
Yeah. Which, by the way, if you guys haven't watched the Night Stalker show on Netflix, do not do it at night, because I made the mistake of not only watching it at night, but watching it one night when my husband wasn't home and I woke up in the middle of the night and randomly was like, I'll just keep watching the show I've been watching and turn on the Night Stalker, which is about a serial killer who came through windows in Los Angeles where I live. Mm-hmm. Stupidest decision I've ever made. So it is a good docuseries and I'd highly recommend it, but do not watch it at night because it's real creepy.
I still need to watch it because I didn't watch it when it came out because I couldn't, because I was like pregnancy brain, but
yeah,
I still need to check it out because
I think you'd like it. It's a well done series from what I remember. I watched it a while ago, I think, but just don't watch it at night.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably have to because, you know, babies and stuff.
Yeah, true. Just lock your windows before you watch it.
Yeah. So from 1984 to 2007, one man was responsible for 10 murders and one attempted murder, and that man was Lonnie Franklin Jr., also known as the Grim Sleeper Serial Killer due to his 14-year dormancy period.
Oh my gosh. And how have I never heard of him?
I haven't either. I don't know. It's kind of crazy because, well, first of all, like, he was active when you were alive, you know? He was still killing women during the years that you were a baby, a little toddler, but still, like, it's in your area, you know?
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. I've never heard that name.
And to have, like, that many victims, I feel like in the true crime community, like, we definitely should have heard of him. And I haven't either.
Wow. Okay.
So with these 10 women, it's also believed that Franklin could be linked to 6 other murders, and one of those, which was a man.
Okay.
But most of Franklin's victims were black women. Many of them were sex workers, and they were all shot with a 25 caliber handgun, and all the bodies were left outdoors in the seediest areas of Southern LA, better known back then as South Central, which I thought they still called it South Central, like Southern California. But
I've
evidently that's a thing of the past.
Yeah, I've never called it South Central. I feel like maybe I've, like, heard that name.
Yeah, but I was just gonna say, like, the only reference, like, point of reference, I guess, that I really have to that is, like, 80s and 90s rappers that like grew up in that area, like South Central, you know, you always hear that in some rap songs, I feel like. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of where I know it from, but I've never personally called it that or, like, known people that called it that. But also, I don't live in, like, proper, you know, downtown LA, so maybe that's kind of a thing there. But yeah, I've never called it that.
So after 25 years, in 2010, Lonnie Franklin Jr. was finally identified and arrested. And on August 10th, 2016, the former sanitation worker was finally convicted of his crimes and sentenced to death.
Wow. Okay.
But we are not here to talk about this poor excuse for a human being. No. We are here to talk about Anitra Washington, the Grim Sleepers' only survivor.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So on November 19th, 1988, 27-year-old Anitra was walking along a familiar route she had taken many times before. She was headed to her friend Linda's house, and the two had planned on attending a party together later that evening. Anitra was a single mother of two children, so of course, you know, she needed and deserved a night out.
Yeah.
And she was born and raised in the southern Los Angeles area, so she was very familiar with, you know, walking to and from different places, taking the bus, etc.
Right, okay.
As she continued her walk to Linda's, she noticed a very nice orange Pinto with a white racing stripe parked on the side of the street.
So indicative of the times.
Yeah, exactly. She stopped briefly to admire the distinctive looking vehicle when the owner of the car noticed her. He spoke something to Anitra, but she didn't really catch what he said, so she just kept walking because she just assumed she was being catcalled by him. But then the man yelled out to her again, so she told him he needed to approach her if he would like to talk to her, because she wasn't going to respond to his catcalls.
Okay.
So the man then got into his vehicle and drove up to where she was walking. Anitra later testified that the man in the car was a clean-cut black man in his early 30s. That evening, he was wearing a black polo shirt with khakis. And he asked Anitra where she was headed that evening, and she told him to a party with some of her friends. He offered to give her a ride to her friend's house, but she declined, even though she didn't really feel threatened by him necessarily, but she knew better than to get into a vehicle with a complete stranger.
Good for her.
Yeah. The man was surprised that she declined his offer, and he said, quote, "That's what's wrong with you black women. People can't be nice to you." Which, fucking rude. How dare you?
Yeah.
And, you know, Anitra was kind of taken aback by this, and she didn't really know how to respond, but she ended up caving and telling the man, quote, "If it'll make you feel better, I'll let you take me there," hoping to essentially prove him wrong.
Right. Okay.
So she went against her gut and took the ride from the guy.
Okay.
So she felt sorry for him. He seemed like a nice enough guy. He wasn't the type that she would normally give attention to, but she was feeling a little bit generous that evening. When she entered his vehicle, she noticed how clean it was, and she was very impressed. The car was in great condition, both inside and out. And while they drove the route to Linda's, the two engaged in friendly conversation, getting to know each other a little bit. The man told Anitra he needed to make a pit stop to his uncle's house to pick up some money, if that was okay with her. It did make her a bit nervous, but she agreed because, as I mentioned previously, she didn't really feel threatened or feel that anything was amiss. Once they arrived to the uncle's, the man left Anitra sitting in the car for a few moments while he ran inside to retrieve the money from his uncle.
Okay.
When he returned, Anitra noticed right away that his demeanor was different. He then turned to Anitra and asked her, "Why did you dog me out?" implying that she disrespected him previously. And she noted that he was visibly angry at this point, and she was confused. So she went to defend herself against these claims, dogging him. And before mm-hmm. she could tell him she didn't know what he was talking about, the man pulled out a handgun and shot her in the chest.
In the chest. Oh, my God.
Point blank in the chest.
And she survived.
Yeah.
Wow.
She recalled later how she never even heard the sound of the gun firing. All she heard was deafening silence.
Oh, my God.
She also had no idea that she had even been shot, but she knew that something was horribly wrong. And out of pure instinct, she reached for the handle to the door to try to escape.
Okay.
So I'm sure she was in, like, shock, you know, yeah. Her body's just taking over, fight or flight, that kind of thing. Yeah. The man told her to stop trying to escape or he would shoot her again. By this point, the realization that she had been shot began, and Anitra knew that she had no choice but to try to fight for her life. She began to tussle with the man, and she kept demanding to know why he did this to her. She begged him to drop her off at a hospital, but he said no.
Okay.
And this next part is just, it makes me laugh, even though this is, like, such a traumatic situation. I'm like, yes, girl, like, even in the worst of times, she was, like, feisty and spunky and fiery and spicy.
I love it.
So she told the man, quote, "If I die, I'm going to ask the Lord to let me haunt you for the rest of your life so you can't get away with this."
Heck yes. I love that. That's so funny.
I know. To think to do that, that's just like, that just shows you like her character, you know?
Yeah.
She also allegedly told the man if he kills her, he's going to have to take care of her children. So by this point, Anitra began losing her strength and was starting to fade in and out of consciousness due to the blood loss and the shock of her injury. After several minutes, she ends up completely losing consciousness. When she was able to wake up a little bit, she came to the realization that the man was now sexually assaulting her.
Oh my God.
She again tried to fight, but she was too weak and she ended up passing out once again. The next time she awoke, she was woken up by the flashing of a Polaroid camera.
Ew, what the fuck?
This monster was taking pictures of her while he raped and murdered her.
That's disgusting. Are you kidding me?
Very disgusting. How do you shoot someone and then sexually assault them? That's just so vile and so, I don't even know, just dark. Ugh. Dark. After the assault was over, Anitra was able to muster up enough energy to open the door to the Pinto and fall out just as the man began driving away.
Wow.
She was then able to muster up even more strength and stumble and crawl to her friend Linda's house that was only a few blocks away.
Holy crap. That reminds me of people like Mary Vincent and Allison Botha, like... Yeah. The strength that takes, I just can't imagine. Yeah. I can't fathom being able to do that.
I feel like I would just lay there, you know, just like, I feel sorry for myself. Like, I can't do this. I can't move. Yeah. But like, I think something just kicks in your brain and you're like, I have to survive.
Yeah.
Even like if I die getting there, like, I have to survive, you know?
Yeah. Or your mind takes over, not your body. Your mind takes over and you're like, like your body's feeling. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Exactly. Though that's just crazy.
It's remarkable. Yeah. But unfortunately, when she arrived to Linda's, by this point, she had already left for the party. So no one was
home.
I know. Oh. I know. It's like, oh, she was so close.
I'm glad to know from now that she survived, because otherwise I'd be like, oh my God.
I know. Like, because she probably used all the strength she had to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So Anitra laid on the porch and once again passed out. At some point throughout the course of the night, Linda arrives home, found her friend bloody, passed out on her porch. And she immediately called. I know. I can't. I really can't.
Like, I think coming I would be home, like. Yeah. And you like, you're, I don't know, you'd probably think, oh my God, what happened? Oh my God,
they're
is somebody here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying. And then, like, she was probably, you didn't know if she was alive or dead. Like, she's.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right. So when the paramedics arrived, Anitra was rushed to the Harbor UCLA Medical Center in Torrance. Okay. And there she was met by her aunt and uncle and immediately rushed into surgery.
Okay.
Because the bullet that struck her chest had collapsed one of her lungs.
Oh my gosh. How did this woman survive this? That's just amazing.
It's wild. If you want to avoid boring, basic, and bland gifts this year, Uncommon Goods is your secret weapon. Uncommon Goods is here to make your holiday shopping stress-free by scouring the globe for the most remarkable and truly unique gifts for every single person on your list. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. These fine products are often made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade or made in the U.S. They have the most meaningful, out-of-the-ordinary gifts I've seen anywhere. From art and jewelry to kitchen, home decor, and bar, Uncommon Goods has something for everyone. Not the same lackluster gifts you could find just anywhere. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give $1 back to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million to date.
That is awesome. Whether you're shopping for your Secret Santa or your entire family, Uncommon Goods knows exactly what they want. I was really struggling with finding gifts for my family this year, so I started scrolling on Uncommon Goods and ended up purchasing gifts for my mom, my dad, my sister, and my husband. I was having so much fun picking out different gifts, and there were just so many categories of unique items that I never would have thought of to gift. For example, I got my husband a make-your-own whiskey kit, I got my mom a swivel wooden cheese board, and I got my sister some women in history wine glasses. I even got myself a gift from my husband, some mason jar spice plants that I am so excited for him to wrap up and give to me.
Isn't that funny how we have to do that sometimes?
Yep.
And those gifts sound awesome. To get 50% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/inhuman.
That's uncommongoods.com/inhuman for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
And as we know, she miraculously survives, and the bullet that they extracted from her chest would be sent to the LAPD and used as evidence in Anitra's case.
Wow.
And sadly, doctors were able to confirm that she had, in fact, been sexually assaulted, because by this point, she couldn't remember what was real, what was,
right,
you know, fever dreams or whatever. Not fever dreams, but, you know, like the equivalent,
yeah,
of being in shock or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, the piece of shit did sexually assault her. Anitra spent 3 weeks in the hospital recovering from her injuries. The LAPD detectives came to take her statement, and she was able to describe the man in great detail to a sketch artist. Despite all this information that Anitra was able to give to police, her case ends up going cold. But were eventually able to link the 25 caliber bullet retrieved from Anitra's chest to a string of other unsolved murders in South Central.
Okay.
But now that they are starting to put together some things, and they're starting to kind of figure out that they are likely dealing with a serial killer, they still do not come forward publicly with this information, which is really unfortunate, because, you know, they kind of figured that most of these victims were Black female sex workers. And I feel like they kind of owed it to the public to tell them that, because these women are still on the streets, they're still working, and they,
right,
don't even know that they're in danger.
Right.
And they even accuse Anitra of being a sex worker, even though she had told them several times.
Makes me so mad.
Yeah, it was like they were like, oh, well, you're a sex worker, like, we're just, what? We just don't care as much, you know?
That makes me so freaking mad.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're still a person.
Yeah.
So, on top of not telling the public that they were likely dealing with a serial killer, they also did not tell Anitra, who survived the killer's attack.
Okay, why wouldn't you tell her? Like, what harm would it do? She probably wouldn't go and tell the public, especially if you say, like, hey, like, we're going to tell you this, but don't tell the public. Obviously, you couldn't, you know, be sure that she wouldn't, but come on.
It's wild to me, too, because in a time when they were so quick to blame everything on serial killers, like, why was this any different?
Yeah.
Because the victims were Black, because they were sex workers, because, you know, they were living in South Central. Like, what was it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so much prejudice. So it just, it makes me very mad, too. And unfortunately, since DNA technology was still in its infancy, they were unable to link any of the DNA gathered from the crime scenes to anything, to anybody.
Okay.
Anitra tried to move on with her life the best that she could after her physical wounds had healed. However, she still had to try and manage her emotional wounds as she lived in fear that this man would learn that she had survived and would come finish the job, essentially.
That's terrifying. Like, I would be, like, changing my name, and but then how do you just give up your whole life? And
yeah, she's got kids, like, she lived in LA her whole life. Like, yeah, how do you just pick up? And it's not always easy, like, financially for people to just move to another state, move to another country.
Oh, that's so scary.
So, yeah, that's terrifying to live every single day in fear of that.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward a little bit. Decades later, Anitra was approached by the LAPD and told that she had been attacked by a suspected serial killer and that they were reopening several cases from around the time that she had been attacked. She learned that her attacker had likely gone dormant for many years, but they believed that he was once again targeting and killing women.
Wow.
Even still, the LAPD refused to notify the public that a serial killer was killing women in their area.
Come on. Are you kidding me? I mean, I know you don't want to cause, like, mass panic, but also people might be able to remember something or know something or see something. Like,
wow. Or maybe other survivors would come forward. Because, like, there's a lot of shame for God knows what fucking reason. It makes me so irate. But there's so much shame when you've been sexually assaulted and, you know, he could have been, you know, escalating. So it could have started out as sexual assaulting and then he turned to murdering. Right. So somebody could have came forward and been like, oh my gosh, this happened to me in the 70s or in the early 80s or in the whatever. But they don't know to come forward because the LAP didn't tell the public.
Yeah.
So frustrating. And they never really did come out. They had to get basically put on blast. In 2007, a local newspaper uncovered that the LAPD had a secret task force that they had been using try to find out who the serial killer was. So,
wow.
They exposed the LAPD, and the LAPD was like, yeah.
Wow.
We are kind of dealing with a serial killer. So this task force began when a recent murder with the same MO occurred. Okay. So Janica Peters had been killed with a 25 caliber handgun, but still they were unable to link anything to any suspects. In September of 2008, the LAPD offered a $500,000 reward, which is like huge.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. For information leading to the capture of the man they had dubbed the Grim Sleeper. But no one came forward. So,
of course.
The media quickly picked up the case and it became national news.
Good. Finally. Yeah.
And then in 2009, they finally got a lead.
By now, you guys probably know how we feel about microdosing. So many people nowadays are microdosing in order to help them feel better and reach their goals.
That's why we are super excited that today's episode is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. Microdose Gummies deliver the perfect entry-level dose of THC that helps you feel just the right amount of good. I love using the Microdose Gummies when I'm having an overwhelming day and I just need to chill out and hopefully sleep like a baby. Not that babies sleep typically, but that's the saying.
I like to take microdose gummies when I'm feeling a little overwhelmed or just when I have a huge to-do list for the day and I need to focus and hone in on that. You can learn more about microdosing THC by going to microdose.com and use code INHUMAN to get free shipping and 30% off your first order.
You cannot beat that. Microdose gummies are available nationwide. Links can be found in the episode description. But again, that's microdose.com, code INHUMAN. Authorities were able to trace familial DNA to the killer's son's DNA.
Who, oh my gosh,
had given a DNA swab after being arrested for carrying an illegal weapon.
Wow. So
they figured out, okay, we have this kid, he was like, I think he was 18. Okay. So yeah, I mean, kind of still a kid, but technically an adult.
Right.
Who committed this crime. We have his DNA, and it's the same DNA. Well, not the same, but you know, it's like familial DNA to our suspect. And it's his son, like his, you know, they can link it that closely or whatever.
Right. That's crazy. And I feel like that's pretty recent that, like, violent offenders have to give DNA. Like, I feel like that wasn't always a thing. And, like, on the more recent side, that's been implemented because of things like this, or if they get caught later for something more serious, like, which is such a good thing. Like, you commit a crime, you lose your freedom in whatever sense, and some of that might be having to give your DNA. Like,
we fingerprint everybody. Why are we not taking DNA swabs? Because literally fingerprints, I mean,
they don't do much. Like, maybe every now and then, but you're not going to get, like...
But DNA, like, you leave your DNA, like, constantly.
Everywhere,
you know?
Yeah.
You're leaving a hair, you're leaving a spit, you're leaving a blood, who knows, you know?
Wow, that is crazy. Blood.
Okay, so detectives then went undercover and collected DNA from utensils the suspect had used at a pizza parlor.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it matched, and they were finally able to link the DNA to Lonnie Franklin Jr.
Wow, that's wild.
I know. How did it take so many years later? I know.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, wow.
On July 7th, 2010, Franklin was arrested and charged in the murders of the 9 women and 1 teenage girl. He was also charged in the attempted murder of Anitra. And finally, after 25 years, justice was going to be served.
I don't even know what else to say other than wow. Like, I feel like I just keep repeating myself, but that is just wild.
I know. Imagine how sick he felt. He was probably like, hey, I'm getting away with this. And then,
It's boom, like when the Golden State Killer got caught. Like, same thing. He got away with it for so long. And then he's like, gets caught because of DNA. Like, that's awesome. Yes. But,
side note, I'm covering that soon. So,
I saw that on our upcoming episodes. I'm very excited for you to cover that.
Y'all get ready. All right. So on December 16th, after the LAPD performed an extensive search of Franklin's property, they released 180 Polaroid photos of women they had uncovered hidden in his home.
Oh, my word.
And they didn't know if these women were additional victims. They didn't know if they were other suspects, which I don't really know how they got that. But
yeah.
They made several attempts to try to uncover the identities of the women, but they were pretty unsuccessful, unfortunately.
Dang. And they could have been, like you said, he may have assaulted victims before he started killing. And, like, so they could have been those types of victims, too. But, unfortunately, there's so much shame around that that maybe people just didn't want to come forward.
So I was watching a video earlier today, and it was they had gone to a hearing on whether or not they could release the photos publicly, which is like, what? Yeah. Why is that even a question?
Yeah.
First of all, but you know it is. So the lawyer that was defending Franklin was like, oh, you know, we don't know who these people are. This is unjust. Like, the jury is going to see this and think that these are more victims when we don't have proof, blah, 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 blah. And the police were just like, we don't know if these people are suspects or victims. And I'm just like, what?
Like, what? But also, like, he has these photos of them. Yeah. Like, who cares if the jury is influenced by it? It's something about him and what was found in his apartment. So that should be,
yeah,
you know, like, I don't know.
And then they were like, they were showing close-ups of the pictures, and they even said, you know, in some of the pictures, these women are smiling. In some of these pictures, these women are sad. In some of these pictures, these women appear to be sleeping or possibly dead.
Oh, my God.
So they don't even know. So so he probably does have many, many, many more victims that just have not been linked to him.
And we know that that's something he does when he... Because we know that that happens to
Anitra. Attack someone.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So how can you not assume that at least some of these, at least the ones that look like they're sleeping or dead, very well could be victims?
I think so. I really do. Okay, so on February 16th, 2016, so yes, 6 years after Franklin was arrested, because it took that long for them to gather all the evidence that they needed to gather, and I'm sure there was, you know, postponed trials and things like that.
Right.
His trial finally began.
Okay.
During the trial, Anitra took the stand and looked right in the eyes of Franklin and told him how since 1988 she had lived in fear that he would return to kill her and that he didn't deserve forgiveness because he showed no remorse.
She is so freaking brave.
I know, she really is. She's badass.
Wow.
She told him, quote, "You are truly a piece of evil. You're right up there with Manson." Which I think,
wow,
I don't know, he kind of seems worse than Manson, but
yeah.
Because technically Manson didn't kill anyone. He just convinced other people to kill. Anyway, that's not part of the story.
But wow, that's so freaking strong of her to do that. And brave and like, wow.
To look him in the eye and be like, yes, I feared for my life, but I'm still strong and I'm still standing.
Yeah. Wow.
Proceeding judge Kathleen Kennedy said, quote, "I can't think of anyone I've encountered in all my years in the criminal justice system that has committed the monstrous crimes that you have."
Wow.
And on June 6, 2016, a Los Angeles County jury sentenced Franklin to death.
Good.
However, after receiving the death penalty, Franklin ended up dying in his prison cell at the age of 67 in San Quentin Prison on March 28th of 2020.
Did he die from COVID? Hopefully.
His cause of death has never been released, like, publicly, but according to the spokesperson for the prison, he had no signs of trauma on his body. So I'm assuming it's, like, natural causes, but they've never publicly, like, released his cause of death.
Maybe he contracted a really bad case of COVID and nobody knew because that was, like, so early on in the pandemic and he suffered a miserable death.
Yeah. Well, he probably did because he was in prison, so that sucks.
Yeah.
Okay, so now before we wrap up today's episode, I also want to remember the other confirmed victims of this vicious man who lost their lives.
Yeah.
His first believed victim was Deborah Jackson, and on August 10th of 1985, she was working as a cocktail waitress and leaving her friend's house. She was taking the bus home to her apartment in South Central, and her body was found with 3 gunshot wounds to the chest several days later, and she was 29 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Henrietta Wright was found on August 12th, 1986 in a South Los Angeles alley. She had been shot twice in the chest, was found barefoot, wrapped in a blanket, and covered with a mattress. And she was 35. Barbara Ware, who was only 23, was found on January 10th, 1987. Her body was found under a pile of trash in an alley, and she had been shot in the chest. 26-year-old Bernita Sparks was found on April 15th, 1987. She had told her mother she was going to the store for cigarettes but never returned.
No.
She was found the next day in a trash bin covered in garbage. She had been beaten, strangled, and shot in the chest. 26-year-old Mary Lowe told her mother she was going to a party on Halloween night in 1987. Her body was found the next day in an alley, and she had been shot once in the chest. Latrika Jefferson was found on January 30th of 1988. She had been shot in the chest and left in an alley. She was only 22 years old.
Oh my gosh.
On September 11th, 1988, Alicia Monique Alexander asked her father whether he needed anything from the liquor store before leaving the house. Her body was found 3 days later in an alley. Police said that she had been sexually assaulted and shot in the chest. She was only 18. His youngest victim, who was 15-year-old Princess Berthemois, disappeared December 21st of 2001. On March 19th, 2002, her body was found in an alley. She had been strangled and beaten, and DNA on her body matched DNA left on the bodies of the other victims, signaling police said the killer's 14-year hiatus had been over.
Wow.
35-year-old Valerie McCorvey was found in an alley on July 11th, 2003. Police said that she had been sexually assaulted and strangled. They initially suspected her boyfriend until DNA on her body was found to match the DNA of Franklin's earlier victims. So she wasn't killed with a gun. She was assaulted and strangled, but she had the DNA.
Interesting. Okay.
And then his final victim was on January 1st, 2007. A homeless man found the body of Janika Peters, who was 25, and she had been shot in the back and placed in a garbage bag.
Wow.
And those are the victims that unfortunately did not survive the Grim Sleeper, but we are very thankful that Anitra was able to survive and I think help police, you know, solve this case because she gave them vital details, I think, that later helped lead. Obviously, the DNA cracked the case, but...
Yeah, no, she definitely helped.
And that is the case of Anitra Washington's survival story and the Grim Sleeper finally getting called after, I don't even know, because who knows when he actually really started, but... Yeah, so almost 25 years. Wow. Crazy.
That's wild. But I'm so glad that Anitra survived. Yeah. I mean, she's freaking such a badass. He probably thought when she fell out of the car that she was going to die.
Yeah, but I'm sure he did.
She was not letting that happen. And I definitely think her surviving helped.
Right.
And... DNA is amazing, and
I know.
Screw you, Grim Sleeper.
Like, I know.
I hope you're rotting in hell.
Yeah, I'm sure he is. And I just, I love all this, justice from DNA, and I wish that, because I just feel like so many cases could be solved with DNA, but they just either don't have the time, don't have the resources, don't have the finances to do it, but, it is right there, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But...
Wow. What a crazy story. I really can't believe that I'd never heard that.
Yeah. And I really wanted to, focus on... Well, first of all, I wanted to do a survivor story because the last few weeks have been... Whew. Heavy.
Yeah.
So I was like, it was really important to me to do a survivor story. And I saw... I survived the top 10 list or whatever. Her name was on there. And I was like,
oh, wow.
I've never even heard of this. Like, this is so crazy. So I was like, I'm not going to cover him. Like, we'll touch base on him, but this is about her. Like,
yeah,
I want it to be about
her.
Like, she survived, you know?
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And some of the news, videos I watched on YouTube, I guess for many years she went by her middle name as to
guard herself. Yeah.
Because I'm sure, I guess she probably told the man her name and stuff. So she went by Margaret or Margareta. I think it's her middle name.
Okay.
So I was like, wow, that's crazy because
you know, that's so scary. I can't imagine living like that.
I know. But that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening, as always. We will be posting pictures of Anitra and the other victims of this horrible monster. But until Monday, stay safe, stay happy, have a good weekend, and keep it human.
Bye.